This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father God, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you that we will rejoice and be glad in it. And we thank you that we can sing to you today. We sing to the God of this earth, the Creator, and Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you that we can gather together as a church and as a family and bring you praises, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, our future is Jesus. All to Him, all to Him we owe everything.
just felt to share what we got with intercession before the sermon, that someone got that it's like a high tea. If you go to a high tea, you are expectant of something awesome. Now, of small little cookies and wonderful tea, and you're expectant of something, and that this is what God wants in our hearts, that we must be expectant. God is here, but prepare your heart to be expectant of what He's going to do.
Thank you. darkness has to bow, confusion has its final hour. When you speak, mountains rise and fall, it tears down every wall around me. When you speak, you breathe upon the dust, you come alive in us. When you speak, you silence every fear, we feel your spirit here around us. Let there be light, let there be till it fills up every space. Come and have your way. Let there be light. Let there be light. Just one word and I am changed. Come and have your silence every fear, we feel your breath here around us. Let there be light, let there be light, until it fills up every space. Come and have your way. Let there be light, let there be light. Just one word and I am changed. Come and have your way. Let there be light. Let there be light. Until it fills up every space. Come and have your way. Let there be light. Let there be light. Just one word and I am changed.
Jesus, take your place. We will see.
the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living.
There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, my living hope. This is where I live for, Father. It's the hope that I've got, to be with you in heaven forever and ever. And I can have that hope through Jesus, because he died for me at the cross. Thank you, Father, for your love, your unconditional love. Thank you, Father, that you want to be with us, that you're with us this afternoon as well, that you want to speak with us, Father. You invited us for high tea. We're here, Father. We come in with an expectation. We're looking up and say, Father, speak to us. What is it what you want to share with us this afternoon? And Father, the things of what happened during the day and the week, we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not going to have an effect, because we're going to focus on each and every word that you're going to share with us this afternoon, Father. And I pray for the Holy Spirit, Father, to flow this afternoon. People are going to experience something which they haven't experienced before. That they only can say, but it's coming from God. It can only be from God, because he is present over here. In Jesus' name, amen. It is a little bit of a different sermon today, because it was actually a question what God was asking me. Who's God for me? And I had to do a little bit of a, in financial terms, we would say a balance sheet, assets and liabilities, and say, okay, what are my assets? What do I have? What do I not have? What do I owe to somebody else? And today, I actually would like to invite you together with me and have a look, not only at my life, but at your own life as well, to do a snapshot, to do a balance sheet, and say, but okay, what is actually happening? How are we going to answer that question? What is God for me? The first song what we were singing, God is everything. And that's my answer. God is everything. Very easy. God is everything for me. Finished. I don't have to explain anything further. But that's the case. God is everything. When I wake up in the morning, it's about God. And the last thing that I do before greeting Renee, I say, thank you, Lord, for this day. I want to be in communication with God, because God is everything for me. And that is through the experience, and it's through his words. And God is from the beginning. If we go and open up the Bible, the first verse, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then the word God over there means plural. So it's not only one God, but it's the Trinity where we're talking about. And then if we go to the last chapter, the Revelations in 22 verses 12, where Jesus is speaking, and behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. God is everything, from the beginning to the end. And that's so awesome that we can experience that, and that we can understand that. That God is everything from the beginning to the end. And the end is going to be forever and ever with him in ever. That is what the end is going to be. And if we take a look at what was actually between Genesis and Revelations, what we can read in the Bible, that God was continuously busy with his creation. He continuously wanted to be with his creation. At a certain time, he instructed them, build the tabernacle, build the temple. I want to be with you people. He wants to continuously be with his creation. And this is also today, that awesome that we can be invited by God, that we can be with God. He wants to be with us. We're not wasting his time. We are his creation. He's smiling when he's having a look at us. He is content. There's a certain verse, depending on the translation what you actually get over there, it says that God is even dancing about us. So happy is he about us. Zephaniah 3, verses 17. I took the Amplified, but the Amplified doesn't even say about dancing. I had a look at a few others, but I've heard it that this one has got the word dancing in it as well. The Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one, a savior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in silent satisfaction. God is having a look at us, and he's content. He's happy with us. If we're seeking his face, then he's happy with us. In silent satisfaction. And his love, he will be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them. What we've done wrong and what we've repented of it, Jesus died for it at the cross. God is not going to keep those copies and say, okay, but you've done this or that. No, it's gone. It's finished. That's what Jesus died for. No mention of past sins or even recall them. He will exult over you with singing. God is my everything. And today I want to focus a little bit about it by splitting it up in the three personalities, what we've got in the Trinity. We had a privilege on Thursday to go and evangelize in town. And then we spoke to a Muslim guy. And of course, Trinity is too difficult for them. They cannot understand it. They only have got one, and that's Allah. And they haven't got a son, and don't talk about the Holy Spirit and things like that. But it was an interesting conversation, because afterwards I had a look at it and I could say again, I wasn't ashamed of it, to share it with him, because that's facts with me. I cannot ignore it. I've got so many examples in my life that I experienced the Holy Spirit, that I could speak to God. I cannot keep quiet about it. So we spoke a decent, nearly an hour with him, and we've told him exactly what is in the Bible. We explained the gospel to him. He tried to explain from Muslims, the side tried to explain something to us. But fortunately, we were two and he was one. So we had a little bit of an advantage, and we used that advantage. Anyway, coming back again to the Trinity. The first one is, God is my Father. God is our Father. And that is something which is very difficult to understand for a lot of people. I've got my biological father. He's still alive, 92. Very difficult to speak to because dementia has set in. A little bit more than a month, both Renee and me had a privilege that we could visit him, speak a little bit to him, but it's difficult. I'm one out of a family of nine, so attention wasn't really there. I was one of the numbers. I was number five in a row, so which means, yeah, I was somewhere in between. An absent dad. He wasn't, because he had a whole family to look after. He was busy. And I couldn't really speak to him. He didn't go along and stood on the sideline and had to look when I was watching, or when I was playing rugby or for soccer, and he wasn't asking me how's things going at school. But it doesn't matter. I forgave him for that. But a lot of people have got a problem that they cannot say our Father to God, because the experience what they've got from the earthly father is not the experience what they actually should have. And those two should be separated, because our Heavenly Father, he's perfect. God is perfect, 100% perfect. But our earthly fathers, our biological fathers, they're not perfect. My dad has got mistakes, but I forgave him for that, so I could look with totally different eyes to him, and I could see him as my father. With his faults, with his mistakes, I could learn from it. But that is then what I experienced in my earthly, in the experience, in the what I could experience in the relationship with my earthly father. But with the Heavenly Father, he's a God who's always there. He's always standing on the sideline and watching to us. He's always asking us how it is going. We can continuously communicate with him. We don't have to wait for this high tea on a Sunday afternoon. He's always available, 24/7. And I've said it before, God is standing next to our bed in the morning. He's looking at us. Are you awake, my son, my daughter? Are you awake? I want to spend time with you today. Most of the time we get out and we just go to the shower and through the kitchen, get some breakfast and then to work. We haven't got time. God wants to spend time with us. He's a father. He wants to be with us. It's a privilege that we can call the creator of heaven and earth, that we can call him our father. There are quite a few verses, in the one which I took is one out of John 1:12. But as many as received him, to him, To them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. If we believe in God, if we accept Jesus Christ, then we can call him our Father. And the concept of God, our Father, was actually introduced by Jesus. And it's also subject to a lot of revelations in the New Testament. We quite often hear about our Father in the New Testament and not in the Old Testament. But it's so beautiful that that Father is always available. We can always go to him. If you're a young believer, if you've got a dirty nappy, if I can put it that way, you can go to the Father. He will accept you. If you're a little bit older and you messed up, you've got a girlfriend who's pregnant, you can go to the Father. It's still your problem. You've got to sort it out. But you can go to the Father. You can speak to him. He's available. It's not that God says, I'm only handling certain issues. We can bring everything to him. If David could go with his murder and adultery, if you could go to God and ask for forgiveness, we can do it with a lot of things what we've done, or not even close as that. We can come and we can go to the Father. Romans 8, verses 16 to 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we are also heirs, and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified with him. And it's awesome that we can, together with Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples as well, our Father, that along with Jesus, that we can say, our Father. That's an awesome privilege. Because God is a Father who adopts. He adopted us. Who shapes our identity. God is giving us an identity. Not your car, not your wife, not your work, not your bank balance, not your degree, not your title. God. God, the Father, is shaping your identity. He comforts us. Doesn't matter what condition we are, we can go to him. He will receive us. Who disciplines and prunes us. That's sometimes what we do not want to hear, but he is doing it. And we're only going to bear more fruit, because if you prune something, you do it for more fruit coming from that pruning. He guides us and he communicates. God is communicating with us. He already sent a message to us. We call it the Bible. A long email, a very, very long WhatsApp, whatever you can call it. He already sent a message to us. We cannot say God is not talking to us. First read the Bible. Then you know that God is talking to us. God is also a God who protects us. We can go to him and we can ask him for protection. And he provides and rewards. When we need certain things and we really go and ask for God's plan, he will provide and he will give us the things which are necessary that we've got to do, for what we've got to do. We live in a fatherless world. The world it's actually terrible. It's not many times that I Googled for information for a sermon, but this time I Googled, and it was actually a little bit shocking, this information what I got, because according to the U.S. Census Bureau, 19.7 million children, that's more than all the citizens which are staying in this small country called the Netherlands, more than one in four live without a father in a home. Consequently, there's a father factor in nearly all social lists facing America today, which means in that house, there's no biological father, there's no stepfather, there's no adoptive father. One out of four. The enemy is successful over there. God wants to be our father. Doesn't matter what's happening on this earth, but God wants to be our heavenly father. The next one who God is for me is, he's a savior through Jesus. Jesus, you are my savior. For there's born to you this day in the city of David a savior who is Christ the Lord. We've been singing it just now, the songs as well, about what Jesus has done for us, that he died for us at the cross, that he took all our sins, and that what is between us and him, that it has been taken away, that we can have a relationship with God. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. This is in Timothy, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Jesus came the first time to save. The second time he's going to come back to judge. And that's going to happen. And I think it's going to happen soon. John 3 is also talking about that Jesus is coming, or that Jesus came to save. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him may be saved. Jesus died for my sins, for all the things what I've done wrong, and I could repent of it. And I took a lot of heavy weights from my shoulder, because you're carrying it along unnecessarily. But you can leave it at the cross, because this is why Jesus died for us. We don't have to carry it along. We can leave it at the cross. And then Jesus was also the leader and the example for his disciples. And Jesus is the leader and examples for us as well. If we want to know how and what we've got to do, again, we can go back to the Bible and we can read and see what Jesus has been doing. And he said as well, he said, you're going to do the same and even more as what Jesus has been doing. I'm not even close to level with Jesus, so I've got a lot of things still to do, but it doesn't matter. I'm trying to, and I want to do what God wants me to do so that God can use us. The third personality in the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is my helper. For the largest part of my life, I've been without the last personality. I didn't really know what the Holy Spirit meant. I didn't really experience the Holy Spirit. But then I could receive the Holy Spirit as a helper. In John 14, I will ask the Father that he will give you another helper so that he may be with you forever. Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He was going to leave. He was going to go to heaven. But he said, once I'm there, then the Holy Spirit is going to be sent to you as a helper. Acts 1, and he said to them, that's Jesus then to his disciples, it is not for you to know the times of season which the Father has put in his own authority. Because they asked him, when are you going to come, that you're going to chase the Romans out of Israel, that we can take the country back again. That wasn't on Jesus' agenda. It was spiritual warfare. That was on Jesus' agenda. And then he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in the end of the earth. And the Holy Spirit is something awesome, because it's not just a title or something like that, but or gifts which are attached to it as well. And I'm just reading the first part of 1 Corinthians 12. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activity, but it's the same God who works in all. But a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And that's awesome. So it's not something which is for us, but God wants to work through us to benefit other people. Tuesday we had intercession. And during intercession, God was talking to us. And we know that the Dom Tower is the highest church tower here in town. But a clock has been taken off. I don't know if you've seen it. There's, I think it has been on the news as well. There's no time on it. And God said to us, it's God's time now. Human-made time is gone. It's not humans who are in control anymore. It's God's time now. And God is telling us, I've told us on Tuesday, that we're moving into a new season. And the season is the prophetic season what we're moving in. That's what God wants us that we should move in. On Thursday morning, me and Renee had the privilege that we could go up the tower. 465 steps. Then we were at the top, and then we had to take, of course, all of them back again to be back. But then we could walk around at the top over there, at the highest place, and we could declare. We could say, God, we declare your kingdom over Utrecht. We declare your kingdom over the Netherlands. Because like I said, it's the highest church tower in the Netherlands. And we could claim, we said, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come over Utrecht and let your kingdom come over the Netherlands. And then also proclaim and say, but this is God's kingdom. This is God's territory over here. God, let your kingdom come over here in Utrecht, as it is also in the other places, that it can come over here, Father, in the Netherlands. Now you must probably ask, okay, you've talked now what you thought about it, what God is for you, but what am I going to do with it? If I do not know God, I cannot tell it to somebody else. If I do not know what God has done for his creation, that he sent his son, if I do not know it, how can I share it with somebody else? And if I do not know, and if I do not see it, how God is working in my life, how am I going to testify to other people? So this is the balance sheet, what God gave to me, that I've got to have a look at my life. And a little bit later, I'm going to ask you, just in a short prayer, to do exactly the same. That you're going to have a look and say, but okay, who is God actually in my life? Who's God for me? Because if I do not understand God, I cannot share it. I cannot explain it. We all know if you've got a very difficult math sum to explain to somebody else, if you do not understand it yourself, you cannot explain it to somebody else. But if you understand it, it's so much easier for you to explain. And once you've done it once or twice or three times, it's becoming just more and more easier to share it with other people. And this is how God wants to speak to us this afternoon, that we're just going to stand still, that we take that snapshot of our life and say, but who is God for me? And if we're not getting excited about it, then there's something wrong. We should be very excited about it. If I'm invited for a high tea, I'm also excited because I like those cookies, the variety of it. It's nice. God is inviting us each and every time for high tea. His door is always open. It's for us that we've got to walk in. We say, Father, here I am. And here I'm going to have high tea with you. God is everything in my life, and I want to do what God wants me to do. I don't want to do what I think is correct, or what my wife Renee is telling, or what a neighbor is telling, or somebody else is telling. I want to do what God is telling me to do. And I can only do it if I'm going to communicate with God, if I'm going to hear from him, and if I allow him that he is going to speak into my life. And I also cannot instruct God to do certain things for me. He's not my servant. I'm God's servant. I cannot say, come up, Father, you must do this and that. No. I must say, Lord, here I am. Use me as you need me. We're now going to move into to a prophetic season. I'm coming back again to Tuesday, to the intercession. And I want to finish off with reading the prophecy from Ezekiel. But that we're going to have a look and see, okay, but how is that prophecy applicable in our lives? How can we prophesy over the area where we move around? The gift of a prophecy causes the individual to be a spokesperson for God. So you're going to speak with something what God is putting on your heart. And these messages can take the form of an exhortation, a correction, a disclosure of secret sins. It can be a prediction of future events. It can be a comfort, inspiration, or other revelations given to equip and to edify the body of Christ. I copy-pasted somewhere, like you must probably understood. But there's something which is very important. They do not constitute the authoritative or authoritative word of God, but they are the human interpretation of the revelation that was received. They are spoken in human words through a human mind, and this is why we must test it against the scriptures of what God is saying to us. We cannot say, God told me I must break down the church tower from Utrecht. Please ask God to give you a scripture to confirm it before you're going to start, because you're going to pick up a problem most probably. And God is asking us that we should prophesy. And then you can say, no, wait, prophecy is only for certain people, elect people. God wants to use all of us. Again, are we prepared to go to God and say, God, here I am. I don't know what to say. But if you do not know what to say, take Ezekiel's one, 37, read that one. And imagine yourself that you're standing and that Utrecht is a valley. It's quite flat over here, but Utrecht is a valley with dry bones in it. And that you start speaking over it. And that you get used to it. And that you ask God to give you those prophecies. Because God is telling us He wants to use us. That we're going to prophesy. That we're going to prophesy over those dead bones. Ezekiel 37. And the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. And then He caused me to pass by them all around and beyond. Behold, and there were very many in an open valley, and indeed they were very dry, which means there's no life, nothing. Not even a bird or anything else still nibbling on it. There's something meat or something juicy on it. It's dry, there's no life in it, dead. And this is the area what we've got as well. We're also living in this area. When we look around, we say it's dead, dry bones. Utrecht is full of dry bones. The Netherlands is full of dry bones. And then God said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? If somebody is going to ask us, can all the unbelievers in Utrecht be saved? What are you going to say? Yes, it can. We're not going to save all of them. God is doing it. How He's going to do it, I don't know. But it can be done. For God, nothing is impossible. We heard it last week as well. So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Imagine yourself. You've got God speaking to you. You've got these dry bones, and this Ezekiel has got to prophesy now over these dry bones. You must probably have also thought, okay, I'm just going to do it because you're saying it, but I don't think something is going to happen over here. It's just a matter of a little bit of dust, and that's maybe all which is going to happen. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and these bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Something was happening. After Ezekiel prophesied, the bones were coming together. Something was happening over there. And then God said to him, prophesy prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up their feet, an exceedingly great army. This can happen. If we are prepared to do what God is telling us to do, and if God is telling us that we're moving now into the season of the prophetic, that we're going to prophesy, and if God is stirring your heart, prophesy. Prophesy over those dry bones. Because if I'm going to ask you if there are dry bones in the area where you work or where you study or where you stay, you must probably say, oh, plenty. I've got to have dust glasses when I go to work because it's just dust from all those bones. But we can prophesy. If God is telling us that there's life possible, then we can do it. We can speak about it. Now I'm going to invite, and it's a little bit of a strange invite. As I'm speaking over here about prophecy, if the Lord is giving you during this sermon now any prophecy on your heart, what you want to share about Utrecht, about the Netherlands, then I'm asking you to come forward and to share it with us.
Actually, I already had this picture during the worship because when we started worship, I just saw the whole congregation or this room just like covered in gold, and I just felt so much peace, and I just had the feeling that God is just like seeing our church like really covered with gold and so much pleasure over us. And then when Dirk Jan like started his sermon, and I was reminded when he said the verse of that God is rejoicing over us and that He is singing over us, I just thought, okay, sometimes I, like, personally, I feel sometimes bad about something, or I think, okay, then God also feels or thinks, like, in a bad way of something. But then I was reminded of that picture, and I was like, it's actually sometimes so crazy how he, like, sees everything more beautiful than we see it. And I just wanted to give that in, just to know that, like, yeah, I just think sometimes we have a worse picture or a bad picture about something, and just like asking God how he sees it, and just like he, yeah, just says and shows like beautiful things, like he shows really that we are covered in gold and that he is rejoicing in us.
Thanks a lot.
So this is during worship. I just saw like a smoke in this room from that way, and the presence of the Lord is just so strong. And I just felt that in my spirit, I just felt that it's ripe. That just felt it's ripe. Yeah.
Yeah, everything happens while we worship. Awesome. So while we're worshiping, I saw God standing with, like, you know, Father Christmas with a bag filled with gifts. And he's giving out gifts. And for some other reason, we think in our mind we only allowed one gift. But God is saying it's time to just grab all the gifts you can, because he's giving it for free, and he wants us to embrace that. It's time to step up. It's time not to just be happy with what a gift. It's time to take all the gifts you can and use them to his to his ability and what he wants us to become. So it's like you said, the time is ripe, and God is standing there and is waiting for you, not just to be happy and satisfied with one gift, but to take all of them. And embrace it.
I just had the impression, I had the feeling that there are some people here who are really tired, maybe spiritually really, really tired. And when we are physically tired, if you go to the doctor, wherever you go, people are going to tell you to rest. Go to your bed and rest. Go take some time off, go rest. So I just had the impression that God says you must rest in him. I don't know if it's one person or for everyone, but just go rest in him. And the word says, be still and know that I'm God. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, actually these last few weeks God has really been stirring up this topic in my heart about the city anyhow already, and I keep having that song stuck in my head from Chris Tomlin, God in this city, I think. Like, greater things are yet to come and greater things are still to be done in this city. And yeah, I just really feel that he's working up an anticipation.
Yeah. Amen. Thanks a lot.
It's really amazing how God is working through his body. Last Wednesday, I had a quite interesting experience, and I received two messages from God. The first message was that I saw the Bride of Christ in a very beautiful yellow dress, in a very beautiful yellow room with a lot of yellow roses. But the bride was sitting still, inactive, waiting. And I felt that the Lord was telling me that he has prepared his bride, and his bride will be ready when he comes. Thank you, Jesus. But he also showed me something else, and it's been reflected in what we've received here just a few minutes ago. And he showed me an airplane, a big 747, an old one, and fully packed with people. And the pilot was trying to take off, and it just didn't work. It was like turning left and right in the streets, and every time it went up, then it couldn't take off, so it went down again. And when the plane stopped, there was a couple sitting behind me. I'm not sure if it's a husband and a wife, or a husband, a man and a daughter, but two people. And the man spoke to me and said, there are just too few Christians on board that are praying for the airplane to take off. And I think that this underlines really that God is with us. He is all around us. And we're now in the season where he really wants to give and pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And this is the time to bow down and seek God and ask Jesus let your spirit fall upon me. Fill me up to the max. For we are your children, and we cannot live without you. So pick up your cross and follow me, says Jesus. Pray for that. Go on your knees, put your nose on the floor, and seek him. And our Father will reward us richly in his gifts. Not for our benefit, but to glorify his name. Amen. And let his kingdom fall upon the earth. Amen.
Thanks, Mark. We're going to have communion now. But before the communion is going to be, the symbols are going to be distributed, I'm going to ask you to become quiet and answer yourself to God. Who's God for you? Tell him. Who is he for you? Please do not copy-paste me. Say it in your own words. Tell him who God is for you. Because we've got to get used to it, that we communicate with God, and that we share what is on our heart, and that we share it with him. I'm going to give a minute or two for that, and then we'll have communion after that. As the symbols are being distributed, when Yolandi mentioned it's Remembrance Day, that's what we're doing today. With the communion, we're reminded again of what Jesus has done for us at the cross. But it's not only Jesus, it's much bigger. Because it starts with God who created. It's everything that happened in the past, that God has got a plan, and he sent his son, and that Jesus died for us at the cross. But then it doesn't stop over there as well. It carries on. The life what we've got on this earth, but then the eternal life with God in heaven, with the Father in heaven forever and ever, with all the other believers. When we're taking the symbol of the bread, it's not just that we think about the body of Jesus Christ, but we think about the love that God has for us as well. That's why he sent Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you love us so much that you've sent your Son to restore that relationship between you and us, and that we can be reminded of it again, Father, today, that you love us always, that you're always waiting for us, and that we can confirm it again and be reminded again today by that relationship that we've got with you, Father, in the name of Jesus. You can take the bread. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus who washes away all our sins. I do not have to die for my own sins anymore. Jesus died for my sins at the cross. Jesus died for all the people's sin at the cross. And that's an awesome message, a good message that we can share with other people. We are not going to keep quiet about it. And thank you, Father, that we can be reminded again that I do not have to feel guilty, be ashamed about what I've been doing. Because I left it at the cross. I'm free. I'm free in you. And thank you for that freedom, Father. Thank you for that assurance that the relationship has been restored. That I can look up and then I can say, Father, our Father. In Jesus' name. You can take the wine, the fruit juice. During the songs what we're going to sing now, there will be opportunity for ministry as well. So I'm asking the small group leaders to come forward and to assist with prayer if needed. And if there's anything what God has been sharing with you today, did you say, but my picture of God as our Father is disturbed because I haven't got that relationship with my earthly father, and you want to bring it to God, and you would just say, God, I made you too small because I equaled you with my earthly father, which is impossible to do because the heavenly father is perfect. Come and bring it to God that we can pray along with you. If Jesus wasn't really your savior, because you would sort out all yourself, all your sins, you will sort it out. And through your good works, you will balance it out again, all the sins what you've done. If you had that type of incorrectness on your balance sheet, if I can put it that way, please come forward that we can pray along with you. And if you're feeling about the Holy Spirit, and specifically prophetic, and I'm going to ask Dina to come over here concerning that, and you say you would like somebody to bless you, that you can be used to be prophetic, to prophesy, that she can anoint you, and that you can be used for God's kingdom. As what Mark said, the plane couldn't take off because not enough people were praying. And if God is telling us that we've got to prophesy, and we cannot say we leave it for one or two people, but we've got to start with it, we've got to get used to it, and we've got to do it. God wants to use us, He wants to work through us. If any other prayer needed, if it is for healing or any other prayer, please feel free to come forward. Do not leave this place if there's something which you've got to sort out between you and God. This is holy time. And do not sit over there, but come forward, pray, pray to God, and we can stand in agreement. And we can anoint you. Because we had high tea with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today. In Jesus' name.
Our Father. ancient doors, open up your ancient gates. Let the King of Glory enter, let him take his rightful place. Open up your ancient doors, open up your ancient gates. Let the King of Glory enter, let him take his rightful place. Open up your ancient doors, open up your ancient gates. Let the King of Glory enter, let him take his rightful place. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever. Amen. Oh, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Shofar Utrecht. Do not look at the results. Do not say, Father, I'm insufficient because there's nothing what I can prove. The Father is saying to us this afternoon, it's not about the fruit, it's about your willingness. Your willingness is the fruit. Are you willing? Are you willing to do what God wants to do? Your willingness is going to be the seed which is going to be sown. Shofar Utrecht. Are you willingly?
To the cross I love. To the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do dream, and of its work I do sing. For on it my Savior both bruised and crushed showed that God is love and God is just. Beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I am sweetly broken, wholly
priceless gift, undeserving life, have I been given through Christ crucified. You call me out of death, you call me into life. I was under your eyes, but now through Christ. cross I'm reconciled. At the cross you beckon me, you throw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. You beckon me, you throw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, lost in love. I am sweetly broken, wholly your redeeming love, and how great is your faithfulness. Oh, the cross I must confess. How wondrous your redeeming love, and how great is your faithfulness. Cross you beckon me, you throw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I am the sweetly broken,
wholly surrendered, wholly
God that's three. great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, see how great is our God.
You are holy. There is none so high and holy. King of kings, the one and only. You are adored.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.